Morning, early birds. You have hooked the worm. Nice to have you with us. The Worm is a podcast bringing you news from Montana and the region from the newsroom of Yellowstone Public Radio and our friends at Montana Public Radio. I'm your host, Orlinda Worthington. Today is Thursday, April 20th. Billings Police Chief puts rising crime in perspective. Parts of Montana earn a failing grade for air quality. And a celebration happening in Bozeman for Earth Day. Right now, people in Glasgow are keeping an eye on the levee and nearby Milk River for more potential flooding. Paul Scabina is the emergency manager for the flooding incident in Glasgow.
We've had good success with our pumping operations, evacuating the snow and precipitation that's happening behind the levee, on the town side of the levee. At this time, the river's also dropping fairly quickly. It's been a busy week and a half or 2 weeks here in managing the emergency situation, but things are headed in a positive direction.
Emergency officials are patrolling the levee that protects the city of about 3,200 people and areas south of Highway 2 24 hours a day. Scabina says they could use more volunteers to help.
So that means there's people multiple times within a 24-hour period that are walking and or traveling along the levee to make sure that everything looks okay.
Information on resources for residents can be found on the city's website. The National Weather Service has the Milk River Valley under a flood warning until further notice. The theme of this year's Gallatin Valley Earth Day Festival in Bozeman is celebrating and supporting wildlife in the greater Yellowstone ecosystem. Yellowstone Public Radio's Olivia Wheats brings us a preview of Saturday's festival.
The Gallatin Valley Earth Day Festival started in 2019 and was held at the Bozeman Public Library. This will be the festival's second year at the Emerson Center for the Arts and Culture. Ann Reddy is the festival's founder.
On the Earth Day itself, I think we're going to have about 40 exhibitors, all the way from composting to wildlife organizations to MSU. Students are bringing their solar car again.
Earth Day Talks run from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. and cover topics like landscaping for birds, living in bear country, and bison.
By Dr. Jim Bailey, who is an authority on bison, retired professor from Colorado State. The title of the talk is, After 85 Years of Frustration, Can We Return Public Wild Bison to the CMR Refuge?
The CMR Refuge refers to the Charles Russell National Wildlife Refuge in northeast Montana. The Gallatin Valley Earth Day Festival goes into the evening hours on Saturday with a variety show at 7:30 p.m. that will feature live music and a game about wildlife crossings. For YPR News, I'm Olivia Wheats.
The American Lung Association's 24th Annual State of the Air Report lists 11 counties, including Yellowstone, Gallatin, Lewis and Clark, and Missoula, with F grades for short-term particulate pollution. Lincoln County, in the extreme northwest corner, received an F for annual particulates. Carrie Nyson, a senior advocacy director for the ALA, says the particulate source is a common one in the West.
Far and away, all of the F grades that Montana receives in this report are really due to the catastrophic wildfires that we have in the American West. And Montana is not alone in this.
A positive for Montana in the report is ozone is not an issue in Montana, while it is the predominant pollutant in the eastern U.S. ALA's 24th annual report covers 2019 to 2021 and grades Montana on ozone pollution and annual and short-term particulate pollution. Residents can check air quality levels at airnow.gov. Intermountain Healthcare is breaking ground on a new cancer center in eastern Montana today. Yellowstone Public Radio's Kayla DeRoche reports.
The Comprehensive Cancer Center at Holy Rosary Healthcare in Miles City, part of Intermountain Healthcare, will be the only one within 125 miles. In a news release, a spokesperson says the facility will span 12,000 square feet and offer cancer treatments, including radiation and surgery. The center comes with a $17 million price tag, and it's slated to open in late 2024. Kayla DeRoche, Yellowstone Public Radio News.
In legislative news, a bill nearing the governor's desk would try to address the child care shortage in the state through loosened licensing requirements for certain types of daycares. Eleanor Smith with the Legislative News Service reports.
The bill passed the Senate unanimously Wednesday and has one more vote before it moves on to Governor Greg Gianforte for a signature or veto. House Bill 918 is sponsored by Democratic Representative Alice Buckley from Bozeman, but Republican Senator Steve Fitzpatrick from Great Falls carried it on the Senate floor. Fitzpatrick said the bill would not only help address the child care shortage, but make sure daycares that are already up and running can stay in business.
We passed earlier in this session a bill by Representative Carlson to eliminate some of the registration and licensing requirements. And what will happen now if that bill goes into effect and this bill does not go into effect is that you could potentially now have family daycares zoned out because they would no longer qualify as a residential use of property. This bill simply ensures that if you are running a licensed or unlicensed daycare, that you will still qualify as a residential use of property for zoning purposes.
House Bill 556, sponsored by Republican Representative Jennifer Carlson, would exclude in-home daycares from needing a license if they care for six or fewer children and they don't charge. That bill passed both the House and Senate. There were no opponents of House Bill 918 Wednesday. It passed the House on a 72-27 vote earlier this month. According to 2021 data from the Department of Labor and Industry, childcare in Montana only covers around 44% of estimated need. That gap kept almost 23,000 people out of the workforce. The bill has one more vote in the Senate.
Eleanor Smith is a reporter with the UM Legislative News Service, a partnership of the University of Montana School of Journalism, the Montana Broadcasters Association, the Greater Montana Foundation, and the Montana Newspaper Association. Montana Medicaid patients will see new restrictions on coverage for abortion procedures. State lawmakers are also advancing similar regulations in the state legislature. Montana Public Radio's Shaylee Rager reports.
The proposed rule would add new requirements for patients seeking state-funded Medicaid coverage to terminate a pregnancy, like proof that they have a physical illness that would be significantly aggravated by pregnancy and prior authorization before a procedure. First reported by Montana Free Press, the state health department moved to adopt the rule Tuesday. It was submitted to the Secretary of State and will be published on Friday. Federal Medicaid dollars cover abortion in cases of rape, incest, or life endangerment, but a legal precedent in Montana requires that the state cover Medicaid patients' abortions more broadly when medically necessary. The rule will tighten that definition. Republican lawmakers are supportive of the restrictions, saying Montana taxpayers should not have to pay for procedures they morally object to. The state legislature has advanced two of its own bills with similar language that are nearing the governor's desk. The Montana Sexual and Reproductive Health Collective, a group of abortion providers and advocates, has pushed back against the rule, saying in a statement it creates unnecessary, burdensome hoops that Medicaid patients should not have to jump through to access abortion. In Helena, I'm Shaylee Rager.
Montana lawmakers have tabled a bill that would have changed the primary process for the 2024 U.S. Senate race. It would have effectively boxed out minor party candidates. The proposal targeted a race that will be hotly contested as U.S. Senator John Tester seeks re-election. It would have allowed the top two vote-getting candidates, regardless of party, to advance to the general election. During a recent hearing, supporters of the bill said it would ensure that the winning candidate wins a majority of the vote. Opponents said the bill would disenfranchise third-party voters and was politically motivated. The House Administration Committee voted 17-1 to table the bill. The recent police report for 2022 in Billings came out at the end of March. It shows decreases in assaults and property crimes, but criminal homicide doubled compared to 2021. I sat down with Police Chief Rich St. John to add some context to the report.
Chief St. John, thank you for visiting with me today. You commented during your recent press conference that despite increases in certain types of violent crime, it's not a trend. Explain that to us.
Well, we're certainly mindful of the problems that we have in the community surrounding the violent crime. I also pointed out in our press conference that we needed to look at 10 years of data and to really, you know, look at the trends from that, which were that we had six criminal homicides a year for an average of 10 years, and that included 2020 and 2022, which were significant spikes. You know, again, when we look at the thing holistically about what's going on in the community, that's where we have historically been. The violent crime itself, apart from the criminal homicides, happy that they flattened out and were turned down. What that showed is that the strategies that we implemented, supported by the resources we got from the safety levy, worked. The one thing that we struggle with, and it's very difficult for the police department, the significant spikes in numbers and the increases were domestic related. That was about 52% of all of our assaults that took place. That's a significant number. That's unacceptable. Very difficult for the police department to prevent that. I mean, this is basically a crime takes place in the home behind closed doors. And so this is some of the efforts that we see on the back end, trying to get the community engaged with education, with prevention, making sure we're holding offenders accountable. When you look at it very acutely, you know, people are shocked. We have, it's the front page. We have the homicides, the shootings. And I'm not going to say that those aren't a problem. But when you step back and look at it holistically and you apply the trends, it's not as bad as it looks.
And you mentioned that you had implemented some strategies thanks to some recent funding. What are some of those strategies?
The whole thing that we really needed to do was to free up sworn officers' time to engage in proactive policing. Supporting that was a recommendation by a third-party organization called the Center for Public Safety Management, CPSM, and they recommended, obviously, some additional staff, but surprisingly enough, 50% of the recommendation were civilian positions. And so we have done that, and it's made a significant impact, freeing up our officers for those things.
Is something that seems fairly new to the area, what we might call armed standoffs, is that unusual? And are officers getting special training to deal with that?
Yeah, unfortunately, we're seeing a lot more what they call barricade situations. And what happens is the suspect in this case retreats into a residence or in some cases a car, refuses to surrender. And, you know, then requires, some additional work to resolve that situation. But essentially what you have are a group of officers that are highly trained. They bring weapons and tools to a scene that an average officer does not have. The thing that is good about that is that we are not a big enough city with problems so frequent that we need a full-time SWAT team. And the bad side of that is that these skills are degradable. Obviously, carving out training time, equipment's expensive. To be proficient at what you're doing, you need to spend time at it. So that balance is very significant. The sheriff's office is exactly the same way. Everybody there has a day job, and then if something happens, they come together.
Billings Police Chief Rich St. John, thank you so much for your time, and thank you to everyone in your department for all they do to protect and serve the community.
Thank you for having me.
That was Billings Police Chief Rich St. John for some perspective on the crime report for 2022. That is The Worm for today. You can hear any stories again or find out what you might have missed at ypradio.org. Also, check Yellowstone Public Radio's Facebook page. Thank you for joining us. We will have another edition of The Worm for you early birds on Friday.
The Worm is a production of Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Metal art call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.